Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 through 16. Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 through 16. Let us hear God's word. Adam lay with his wife, Eve, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. She said, "With the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man." Later, she gave birth to his brother, Abel. Now, Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. But Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door, and it desires to have you, but you must master it." Now Cain said to his brother, Abel, "Let's go out to the field." And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Where's your brother Abel?" He replied, "I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper?" The Lord said, "What have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Now you are under a curse and driven from the ground, which opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it will no longer yield its crop for you. You will be a restless wanderer on the earth." Cain said to the Lord, "My punishment is more than I can bear. Today you are driving me from the land, and I will be hidden from you, from your presence. I will be a restless wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me." But the Lord said to him, "Not so. If anyone kills Cain, he will suffer vengeance seven times over." Then the Lord put a mark on Cain so that no one who found him would kill him. So Cain went out from the Lord's presence and lived in the land of Nod, east of Eden. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious and Heavenly Father, we come before you now and ask that you would feed us with the manna of heaven, that you would feed us with your word, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You probably don't recognize it, but you are all the time comparing things to things. If you go shopping, you compare brand X to brand Y. If you like to travel, you compare this place to that place. We compare products and places and people, and the list just goes on and on and on. But comparison is good because by comparison, we come to understand what is right and what is good and what is best for us. Well, the Bible does some comparisons as well. When the Bible compares, it usually has a moral lesson to it. The Bible compares places and people and things. The Bible compares the Israelites to the Canaanites, Egypt to the Promised Land, goats and sheep. These comparisons show us in a spiritual way what is right and what is good. Well, the Bible also compares people. In the fourth chapter of Genesis, we are given a comparison between two brothers, their lives, their activities. Cain is the oldest, and his younger brother is Abel. the purpose of comparing these two brothers, the purpose that the Holy Spirit wants for us to see, is that one is a Christian and the other is a hypocrite. Now, there were many similarities between Cain and Abel. First off, they were sons of believing parents, of Christian parents. Though Adam and Eve sinned, and though they brought the whole world under a curse, yet both Adam and Eve believed the promises that God gave them in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Then Adam declares his faith by naming his wife Eve, because she would be the mother of the living. Not the mother of the dead, but mother of the living. And this name signified that Adam then believed what God had to say in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. And that was that God was going to send a Redeemer who would crush the head of Satan. Eve, too, was a believer. Eve was also a believer. When Cain was born, she exclaimed, she praises God. She says, "With the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man." In her mind, in her way of thinking, she's thinking that this is the Redeemer. This is the first son that has been born. This is the Redeemer. This is the one who is going to crush the head of Satan. Eve's words were a statement of faith, of her hope for a Redeemer. And she praises the Lord for the gift of a male child. And it's interesting to note that Adam and Eve taught their sons about the promise in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. How else were they to know and understand God's plan? It's because Dad, Adam, taught them. And the next similarity is they both went to church. In verse 3 it reads, "In the course of time," or "in the process of time." Now this is very interesting, because the exact Hebrew translation is "at the end of days." Well, what does that mean? Well, what is being conveyed to us by the Holy Spirit is that at the end of the 6 days, you see, God had already created and he was resting on the seventh, the Sabbath day. And he told Adam about that. Adam told Eve about that. And then them together told their children. So they both went to church. Abel and Cain went to church. And they went to church at the end of days, on the Sabbath. They went and set aside that time to praise God. Another similarity in our comparison is that both Cain and Abel, when they would go to church, they would bring an offering. Cain, because he worked the soil, brought some of the fruit from his labor. Abel, because he kept flocks, he brought some of the fruit of his labor. And of course, this shows that they had to learn this from their parents, because their parents stood there and watched God slay an animal in order to cover Adam and Eve up. And this was the offering of Abel. This is clear by what the scriptures say in Hebrews chapter 11. We are told that by faith, Abel brought a sacrifice. Faith then presupposes something, and that something is the communication of God's word. Adam communicated to his family the thing that had been communicated to him, that God was going to send a Redeemer, but that Redeemer would come only through the shedding of blood. In Hebrews chapter 11, we are told what sets Abel apart from his brother. It says, "By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man." Simply put, Abel believed God's promises. Therefore, he brought a slain animal where there was shedding of blood, because that's what God said was required. But that's not what Cain did. Cain just brought some of the fruit from his farmland. And these are some of the things that are communicated to us. In order for a sinner to stand before a holy God, the sinner needs a covering. Even the cherubim in Isaiah chapter 6, though they're not sinful, yet as they approach God, they must cover their eyes and they must cover their feet. How much more so then a sinner is in need of a covering. Number two, that which was of a human invention, it was worthless. That which Cain did was worthless. Instead, it was what Abel did. Abel believed God's word, and therefore he brought the right kind of sacrifice. And another thing that we learn is that God himself must provide the covering. Salvation is found in no other name except Jesus Christ. It must be a work of God, a work of his grace and mercy. And that's what God demonstrates to Adam in the form of the animal skin. It must be by the work of God. But what about Abel? Or what about Cain? What did he do? Well, he brought an offering, but he didn't bring the best of what he had. Neither did he bring one through the shedding of blood. Instead, he created a religion. He created his own type of worship. The scriptures talk about the sons of Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, and they were to go in to the tent of meeting and to offer the sacrifice. But this time, they created their own religion. They brought what the scriptures call strange fire. In other words, something that God had not commanded. They wanted to change the way they worshiped. They wanted to change what God said was the right way to worship. And the result was not good for them. Because as they offered strange fire before the Lord, the fire of the Lord came out and consumed them. This is exactly what Cain is doing. He's offering a sacrifice, but he's offering what he wants to offer. He does not do what God says needs to be done. He doesn't bring the best of the field. He brings some of the things of the field. He has no faith in God's promise there in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. He has no faith, no hope, and no love to God was the way of Cain. He doesn't obey God. He creates his own type of religion. And the scriptures say that he belonged to the evil one. Think about that. He tried to change the way God says to be worshipped. And he becomes so frustrated at God's favor upon Abel that he decides, well, I'll just get rid of my competition. I'll just get rid of my brother. And the problem is simple. Cain didn't love God. Suppose it was your birthday, and you're having a birthday party, and you invite me to come over, and I come over, and I got a nice package for you, and you open that package, and what's inside is a black, stinky banana. Now, what would you think? Would you think that I had your best interests at heart? Do you think that I would think that I really love you? Nobody likes a black, stinky, mushy banana. But that's what I brought to you. Well, in the same way, that's what Cain did. He shows up to worship, but then he wants to worship in his own way. He shows up to worship, but he doesn't really see the need of the shedding of blood. Because my sin's not that bad compared to everybody else, and I'm kind of a good guy. That's the way Cain was thinking. He creates a totally new religion whereby you are saved by your own good works. You set the standard, and you set the standard way down here so that you can easily maintain it, whereby you can easily fulfill it. Abel's religion has the standard way, way, way up. So he has to trust God to provide for him. Now let me ask you. When you come to church on the Sabbath, what are you thinking about? Are you thinking about, man, I wish that preacher would get through real quick. You know, the Baptists are going to beat us to the restaurant. Or do you think of the glory of Jesus Christ? Do you come to worship on Sunday to promote yourself or to promote Jesus Christ? If you're here for people to think that you're a good person, well, it's because you're worshiping yourself and not Jesus Christ. Two brothers doing in some ways the same thing, same parents, given they all go to the same church, you know, the garden church of the ARPs. They all go to the same church. Raised by godly parents, one believes the promise. The other does not. And so he seeks to create his own type of religion. And the scriptures say then that he was banished from the kingdom of God. See, Cain and Abel stand before us as two representatives. They're the head of two different categories that we have compared. Cain represents those who claim to be Christians, but in reality are not. The hypocrite tries to love God, but he only loves God in the way that he wants to love God, which is no love at all, because the hypocrite despises God's way of salvation. He despises God's commandments. And therefore, he invents his own way of worship. He seeks to please himself. He seeks to live for himself. He simply goes through the motions without any regard for God. Abel, on the other hand, who was hated by Cain, see, he is the example of a true believer. He understands the depth of his sin and that the shedding of blood was going to be necessary for the forgiveness of sins. And of course, the shedding of blood was in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died for you. He shed his blood for you. If you're unable, then take security, take refuge in God's promises to you. If you're a Cain, then you need to talk to the preacher or one of the elders. How do you compare this morning? Let's pray. Our gracious and heavenly Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit who has called us out to follow you. We pray for grace to be obedient. We pray for grace, Heavenly Father, to love you with all of our heart, mind, body, soul, and strength. And we offer our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is 649. More love to thee, O Christ. 649, and let's stand as we sing.